Go ahead.
Hello, this is the Pressure Podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Press Row Podcast, the definitive sports video game show. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. Well, hey everybody, Rich Grisham here. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Press Row Podcast. We really appreciate it. After a week on, week off schedule for the last few weeks for the summer vacation, we are back on our regular weekly rotation starting today. And boy, we need to be, because there is a huge wave of sports games coming. So much good stuff, we hope, anyway. We assume so much good stuff coming over the course of the next couple of months. And today, we talk about that in our sort of a bit of a fall sports game preview, where we've got our good friends Owen Good, TJ Lowerman, and Kat Bailey joining me for that. But before that, we've got a conversation with Ryan Santos and Sean O'Brien from the NBA Live team, who made a big announcement yesterday, if you're listening to this on the day it's released on Friday, about some of the new modes and of NBA Live 16, as well as the early access and the free demo and all sorts of stuff. So it's a two-parter. Up first is Sean and Ryan from the NBA Live team. And up next is myself along with Owen, Kat, and TJ with the Fall Sports Preview. So thanks again for listening. We really appreciate it. Do us a favor. Go check us out at hitthepass.com. That is our new website where we are putting up all sorts of stuff every day about sports video games and the culture around it. And, of course, as always, go check out our good friend Brian Wiedeisite at Pasta Padre and Operation Sports as well. It's a great network, and we're just super happy to be a part of it. All right, so thanks and enjoy the show. We are here with NBA Live 16 executive producer Sean O'Brien and senior designer Ryan Santos. Sean, Ryan, welcome back to the Press Row Podcast.
Rich, thanks for having us, man.
Thanks for having us.
So these are big days for the NBA Live franchise. We'll get into that in just a moment. But the NBA Live is coming out firing this fall with NBA Live 16 with some of the various things that you're offering to fans, some of the new modes that are coming. But before we get into that, Mr. O'Brien, I have to say something. Now, we've spoken many times before. We met face-to-face several times. I have a lot of respect for you. So this is by no means disrespectful. Got to ask you a question, though. You're on stage at E3. You're in front of millions of fans. You're interacting live with the hoop god. You're wearing a great jacket, pants, and shoes. And you don't tuck in your shirt? I was shocked.
You're like... This is like reliving the conversation I had with my mother. It's exactly the same thing. She gave me crap for doing that too.
I'm thinking to myself, knowing Sean, he wanted that shirt tucked in, but some sort of staffer's like, no, we got to look cool. We got to look like we're one of the cool kids. Got to untuck that thing.
Hey, Andrew Wilson has stepped up the game for EA, and we all had stylists, and there was like a common thread with what we all wore, and it was a different experience for all of us involved in that press conference this year. A lot of work put into it, and then that added element of Hollywood, I guess, style put on it. So it was fun.
That's funny. So all right, as I mentioned, NBA Live 16. Coming out firing on all cylinders. We are recording this on Thursday, just the day before we release this. You guys had some major announcements come out today, so let's talk a little bit about that. NBA Live 16, you have some new modes, some new ways to experience the game, and you're also putting the game out, or at least parts of the game out, for free well before the game releases. So, Sean, I don't know where you want to start. There's so much that you came out with today, so I'll just I'll almost ask you this question. Where do you want to start? You know, what has you most excited about the big announcements that have come out today about NBA Live 16?
You know what, Rich? I think for me, and I've said this, I think, many times over the last 2.5 years, and, you know, I'm not the type of guy who really likes to sell what we're doing, and I've been pretty clear on the journey that we're on and what we're trying to do. And what excites me the most is I feel like we've had a tremendous year, and what we've been able to develop, the team really starting to come together, the game itself coming together. And what we wanted to do was really give people the opportunity to try it and not try to sell them on why they need to buy the game, but just give them the opportunity to try it, because we're not creating a Me Too basketball game. You know, we have a lot of respect for what the guys at 2K are doing and have done, but we're going in a different direction, and we want to give people the opportunity to try that. So, you know, when we came up with this idea months and months and months ago and what the feature set looked like in the creative direction, part of that piece was to provide players an opportunity to actually see it and not require them to actually purchase the game to see it and to play it, to feel those differences. You know, as our game has improved drastically, you know, since we first began this journey with the launch of Gen 4. So that's honestly what I'm most excited about, is that, you know, I can literally shut up and let people actually play the game for themselves and not have to spend a penny on it and just judge for themselves. And I'm really excited to see what people have to say about that.
Well, you know, that in and of itself is, you know, that's kind of a rapid departure, right, from the way that traditional console sports games have been presented to users, right? There's always that $60 paywall. Now, recently, Electronic Arts introduced what I think is a tremendous service called EA Access that allows you, if you are a subscriber on the Xbox One, unfortunately it's not on PS4, you know, to get early access to games. At first it was, you know, a few days before release, you get 6 hours. Now I think you're getting 10 hours. So between those two things, I mean, basically you're put in a position where your game is going to get accessed by a lot of people that would normally not have access to it without first plunking down $60. So ready or not, here it comes, right? But it sounds like you feel great about that. And it also sounds like you feel that that access is going to turn some people that might not have, you know, even thought about NBA Live, or if they were thinking about NBA Live, weren't necessarily going to buy it. You sounds like you feel like this is going to turn some of those folks into purchasers of the game.
I do. And, you know, and we're looking at this not as, you know, and again, like I feel like a broken record at times, but it's not a, you know, an annual thing where we look at it and really evaluate. This is a process for us. And, you know, if we're going to convince somebody who is either a 2K player or just a sports video game player or a non-sports video game player to try our product, we need to do something like this. You know, if you're happy with your car, but you're interested based on an ad or some information or something your buddy said about a different type of car, you're not just going to go buy that car. You want to actually go test drive it. And I think it's a similar philosophy where if you want players in this case to really make a switch, or try something new, or get them to drop another $60 on something they might not normally do, you need to try it. And I think we're really trying to provide an opportunity on what the entire gaming experience within NBA Live looks like, to really give you that opportunity to understand that and not just tease you with a part of the game, and then let you know on all the other stuff that's available once you actually do purchase. So, yeah, for us, it is all about trial, and really in this brand building journey that we're on, as we improve our product quality year over year, is letting more people in on that. And to your point, Rich, we do feel very good. I feel like we had a really good E3 for our software to be in a position for it to be playable and in a really good place at that time. And we got some tremendous feedback. You know, we work with our community members through our Game Changers program. Those guys have been in multiple times throughout the summer. And these are the guys that are playing that online multiplayer type experience, whether it's in a basketball game, you know, a soccer game, hockey game, whatever. So we're really leveraging a lot of the experiences and the expertise of our fans to help build this mode, to help tune it so that things like player progression, venue tournament difficulties, they're on point for when the game actually releases or when the demo releases on September 15th.
You know, one of the things that you said, I find fascinating, which is we're not a Me Too game. You know, you're not sort of chasing something as much as you feel like you're building your own experience. Now, this is year three of the rebuilt NBA Live franchise. Year 14 was the reintroduction of the game to the market. You know, last year was a you know, building upon that foundation. Year three, next-gen consoles, you know, you've got a lot that you've been able to build on. You know, this is the show me year. I have a feeling, right? Like, this is the year when, you know, with the amount of time and the resources and the energy that you put into it, this is the year where, you know, NBA Live really needs to demonstrate to its fans and to the people who, you know, had been fans but haven't been recently, that this is the game, but not a game that's trying to copy, you know, your competition, but a game that is going to be successful on its own merits. Is that, you know, is that really sort of the approach that you have with this as well?
Yeah, man, I think so. I think for us, you know, I've said recently, you know, I feel like I finally got our, you know, well, I'll speak for myself. I feel like I finally have my head above water. And as a product, I guess in a number of different ways, but definitely as a product. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're finally in a position where we can, you know, as a player playing our game, it makes sense. We're starting to carve out our own identity, how we differentiate from other sports games. And it's, you know, if you exclude and ignore quality for a minute and you played NBA Live 14 and 15, it was a basketball game. And it really didn't have anything you could really hang your hat on. You know, I play NBA Live for this reason. And there was some of the things we're starting to do in gameplay, I think, and control were recognized, but, you know, through the cloud of, you know, qualitative issues that we're working through, I think, you know, our live services is something that, you know, we've proven through last year and the year before. And we talk about, you know, how we spend the time to ensure that we're making the game better, how we provide new and fresh content on literally almost on a daily basis. And that's not just roster improvements. That's, you know, big moments. It's things within our ultimate team. There's a lot of stuff happening that I think helps us with that, you know, that identity that we're carving out. And I think this is really the first year from a feature standpoint, beyond that live services, beyond those little things within gameplay that really come to the surface. And so when you put that disc in the tray and it's, or the game's on your hard drive and you're actually playing it, you can sort of describe what NBA Live is and what that identity looks like. And, you know, our opportunity to give you control while you're playing and to express yourself, the player customization that allows you to express yourself in a different way, and then that experience within Pro-Am that allows you to do it with your friends, and then really give you that environment to compete with them online. And I think that's where, you know, why I'm starting to feel really good about where we are is just those reasons. And I think every good product needs an identity, and every good product needs to be different from others in order to be successful. And I feel like that's where we're just starting to scratch the surface on, and what you're going to see moving forward as well. And, you know, and I don't say this in a very shallow or hollow way, is this is really a game that's being defined by, you know, listening to our fans and listening to what players are saying, and understanding what they're looking for, what they like and dislike in different games. And really grasping, you know, if I look at it from an optimistic point of view, grasping the opportunity that we have as we build out our game, to build it out the right way and not live with and have to live with legacy issues or live with features that have been there for a long time or modes that have been there for a long time that, you know, that either, you know, people aren't engaging with or they don't like, but they have to be in there. So we're really looking at this, you know, most of the time very optimistically on the opportunity that we have to create a game that players are looking for.
Well, one of those you know, new ways is the Live Pro-Am. So let's talk about that. What is the Live Pro-Am? What was the genesis of it? And what is it, you know, what is the unique experience that it brings to players of NBA Live?
Well, I mean, the journey for Live Pro-Am starts with you. You know, we premiered the mobile scanning app, the GameFace HD at E3. The ability to create your player and begin this journey starts with you. So we wanted to start there and take you on a journey where you could take this creative player, go into Pro-Am or go into Rising Star. We have Global XP, our progression system, you know, goes in between those multiple modes. So, you know, the ability to just really be invested in your character is the start of it all. And so, you know, by scanning your face, getting into the game, going through all the different new customization options that we have, you're able to start with a character that, that you want to take on this journey. And within Pro-Am, it's really a mode that you're able to play two ways. So Summer Circuit is your online cooperative mode that you can play with your friends against, you know, various CPU teams that include NBA players as well as some great, NPC characters on real courts across North America. So, you know, you saw in the trailer today, if you haven't seen it, you know, we feature courts like Venice Beach, Rucker Park, Hoop Dome in Toronto, the Pro-Am court in Seattle, which is Seattle Pacific University. So various courts within the game that are these world venues where Pro-Ams take place in the summer. So in your journey in Summer Circuit, you're going to play a tournament at each venue that consists of five games. And, you know, there's different levels of completion within each game. So you could earn 1 star or 3 stars based on you hitting your objectives. And when you hit your objectives, you earn rewards like new gear, skill points, reward points to progress your character. If you complete all five games and 3-star all of them, say in Venice Beach, you'll get a special reward there. The cool thing too is the characters that you're going to meet and face in these venues are characters that appear there in real life. So if you're playing at Rucker Park, the very last game, you'll be playing against Kevin Durant, who scored 66 points. And, you know, that was a legendary moment for him there at that court. And so what we tried to do is really leverage the real world and what happens at these places and how the game is played and give you a similar experience to relive that and really be there at Rucker Park playing against KD. The second way to play is Live Run, which is a mode we had in NBA Live 10, if you remember that. So it's our competitive 5v5, mode online. You get to play games up to 21, so it's really quick. You easily match up with players instantaneously. So you can get a lot of games in quick and have a lot of fun with your friends. And again, there you'll be able to play against, all human controlled players. So those are really the two ways to play. And what's cool about it is our progression system that, you know, is common between both, which allows you to progress based on the position and really the play style that you choose. And we can probably go into a little more depth about progression in a bit here.
You know, one of the things that is very interesting to me is that you're clearly reaching, or I say clearly, to me it seems like you're reaching back into the history of not just the NBA Live franchise with this, but also when you're talking about like the parks and, you know, you're taking on different teams. I also immediately start thinking about one of my all-time favorite series, which was NBA Street. So, you know, I'm hearing that and I'm thinking about NBA Street and then watching the trailer. The trailer is very heavy on like high-flying dunks and things like that too. So am I getting a Street vibe in some of this too, or is that just me?
No, I think definitely there's the roots of street ball where, you know, we were conscious about the venues we picked. You know, Venice Beach, Rucker Park, those have a rich history in terms of street basketball. But when you look at the way the game is played today in the summer, and our franchise itself is very authentic and we're more of a simulation basketball game, we wanted to root this thing in sort of that authentic play. And we looked at Pro-Am and the way that sport is played and how our fans look at that sport. I mean, it's really, you got NBA players and amateurs playing, you know, simulation type basketball. And so while the visuals may look like, hey, this is taking place in sort of the street ball atmosphere, it's really more, you know, picking the venues that have that rich heritage, but the way you play the game is still NBA Live. It's still the gameplay that, you know, building and the type of gameplay we're trying to build with the responsiveness and the control. A lot of the gameplay mechanics you see in regular tip-off, you're going to be able to do that stuff in, the Live Run mode, in Summer Circuit mode, with the additional control for off-ball, a lot of things that you do in Rising Star. So gameplay-wise, it's still very much rooted in authentic, you know, simulation basketball.
So you mentioned progression. I want to talk about that. You know, this all sounds very interesting, but if there's not sort of a long-term, you know, appeal to keeping it going, you know, it might be difficult to sort of keep the players coming back. So I'm interested about the progression, how that works, and sort of what the, you know, what is it other than, you know, obviously hopefully strong gameplay and just fun, right? What else is there behind the scenes that's going to keep people sort of wanting to, you know, thinking about their characters as they're going about their day, so that when they get home, they want to jump right back into it?
For sure. Well, you know, we overhauled our whole progression system. And if you remember last year and the year before, you would earn, you know, these skill points, and basically you're dumped into a progression screen where you could spend it any way you want. There really wasn't a type of guidance on, you know, the play style you chose or things like that. So we went back to the drawing board and looked at it more from like an RPG lens. So, you know, in an RPG, you create a character and you have different skills and you have your skill trees. And so when you progress through our game, it's going to be very important that choice you make in the beginning as, you know, a certain play style will dictate the type of progression you're going to have and where you're going to spend your skill points and what type of skills are going to be easier to upgrade versus which ones are going to be a lot harder. So if I'm picking a shooting guard who's a scorer, it's going to be easier for me to upgrade my shooting skills, but it's going to be a lot harder for me to upgrade some of my, you know, rim protecting skills, right? So you'll see right away, and I think, again, it's going to be one of those things you just have to try, but the progression is really catered more towards this kind of RPG style. And the fact that you can go into Rising Star and start your career there and then hop into Pro-Am is something that we've never done before. So you could be playing Rising Star as an NBA drafted player and then jump into Pro-Am and continue to progress your character. And we'll have different balancing across the various modes, obviously, but we give you the freedom to play the game any way you want. And I think that's one of the things that's going to have people coming back, because you could really take this character into multiple modes. Like, you could be playing in Summer Circuit against these legendary teams, or be playing competitively online with your buddies or against, you know, strangers, or go into Rising Star and just you know, grind out your career. And then within the demo, in the free demo, you're going to be capped at a certain level. So you won't be able to get into, say, the mid-90s of an OVR, where that's where our elite NBA players are at. You're only going to be able to get to a certain level. Right now, it's 80, but we're going to be looking at balancing and seeing, you know, how people play and where that's at. But, you know, there's limited progression there in the demo. So, you know, if you really want to, you know, continue to compete, the hope is that the guys will, you know, having fun, they'll buy the game and continue their careers in the retail product. And even then, you could still play against people who have the game. So, it's going to be a really different way to play our game, I think. And I think the freedom in being able to jump between different modes with your character is going to give you that replayability.
So let's talk about the demo a little more, right? You mentioned it, you know, you're going to have these, you know, these modes available in it too. It sounds like there's also, I believe, if I have this right, there's going to be 6 teams that you can play just regular, you know, 5-on-5 games in the demo as well. Do I have that right? And if so, like, just what are some more of the make sure that we get information right around the dates and the times and the details of the demo?
Yeah, that's correct. Like, the demo comes out September 15th. And you're going to be able to play Pro-Am, both modes, live run, Summer Circuit, as well as tip-off, which is our exhibition-style play with 6 NBA teams. You'll also get Learn Live, where you'll be able to learn a lot of the new mechanics, practice the drills, go into shoot-around, go into a scrimmage. So really get a feel for the game if you want to start there for some new users. We've changed some of our new controls, so you'll be able to practice some of those new mechanics like handoff, this and that. And then, obviously, what comes out even before that is the mobile scanning app, so our companion app featuring GameFace HD on September 8th. So you'll be able to create your character, get them ready for the 15th, so you're ready to go and play.
You know, this is something that people who are listening to the show in a few minutes are going to hear us talk about, and it's also something I've spoken about a bit before. I'm sure you're hyper aware of it, right? Like, the sports video game calendar, release calendar, is crazy this fall, right? Just in a couple of weeks, you got Madden, right? You got Madden, and then you got FIFA, you got NHL, you got NBA Live, you got NBA 2K, you got Pro Evolution, and these are all coming out within like 5 or 6 weeks of each other. What you guys are doing sounds like a very interesting way to give yourself the best opportunity for your game to get exposure in that, you know, crowded release calendar. Obviously, you're aware of that. I mean, is this sort of, is the approach that you're taking, you know, giving people, so many more people access to significant parts of the game, sort of a response to that? Or is this really, you know, this is just sort of your plan regardless? I'm curious about that and sort of juxtaposed against all of these sports games coming out basically at the same time. You know, a lot of competition for a lot of dollars, not even factoring in the other big releases of the fall that aren't even sports games.
I think there's, I guess I would be lying if I said that we didn't even consider that, Rich, but I think the primary driver for trial is really about brand building for us and giving us that opportunity for people to play for, you know, play for free and really get a sense of where we're at. I think to your point, though, which is valid, it is a very busy time of year, and I think it further reinforces the need to do something like this, as well as the opportunity that's put in front of us. And I think the reality that it does take something like this for people really to give it its due, and then we go from there. And I think that. Yeah, it's like I said, it's a busy time. We get to play all the other EA Sports games, so I know how good they are. I know how good NHL, we'll start with Madden. I know how good Madden is. I know how good NHL is. I know how good FIFA is, which is very exciting for us as employees of Electronic Arts. And I'm only assuming 2K will be as good as it always is as well. So if I think for us, it's more about getting in that rotation. And sometimes you have to do something pretty aggressive in order to get into that rotation. And my hope and my feeling is that we can just be another product in that rotation, not taking away from somebody else, but just offer a different way of playing, whether it's the game of basketball or a different way of playing a different sport for other people. So, yeah, I think there's definitely part of the decision, but not the primary driver.
So I'll get you out of here on this. I know we have limited time. You mentioned that you had, and you've been focusing quite a bit on like the game changer community, you know, getting people in, seeing their reactions to what you've been doing. What has, based upon that, what do you think when people first start playing NBA Live 16, what is the biggest sort of surprise, or what do you think people are going to go, oh, that's interesting, or ooh, did you see that? Like, based on the reactions you've seen from the community, what do you think the sort of, what are the reactions of people that are going to play NBA Live 16 are going to be, you know, when they, in the, with their, that experience of the first few hours?
Well, maybe we can both answer this. So I'll go first. I think based on all the play tests that we've done, and typically with a play test or when the game changers come in or anyone external comes in or even people internally, you know, we always give our disclaimer on where we're at and, you know, we're a work in progress and here's what, you know, the intent is, here's where we're going to get to, all of that stuff that, you know, that we're constantly doing. I think the thing that has, you know, I have a couple things. I think the thing that I am hopefully correct in anticipating is, first of all, the how much of a game changer Game Face HD is. I think it's something that the actual idea has obviously been done before, but the thing that we focused on with this technology is twofold. It's, first of all, it's a user experience. The fact that it's on your phone, we partnered with a digital agency known for user experience, to ensure that that experience is amazing, that if your scan does fail, you know it immediately. And so you're not wasting time uploading it to the cloud and pulling it down to your game and saying like, oh, that doesn't look like me, or oh, there's a problem with my lighting, or whatever the problem was. And then leveraging the technology and the pipelines to create the same sort of fidelity that you get to live in the world with NBA superstars and look as good as them. I think when you hear it on paper, you're like, yeah, I get it. I've seen this before. When you see it in practice and, you know, within 5 minutes from scan, like Ryan was mentioning earlier, to customization on your phone, get up into the cloud, pull it down into your game, and you're playing with yourself and you look amazing, I believe is a bit of a game changer. Secondly, I think gameplay is going to surprise a lot of people. I think when I look at our game last year, specifically animation, was a big challenge for us. And I am unbelievably proud of how far we got with gameplay this year and with animation fidelity, with the control we're offering. So this was validated at E3. It's validated with our game changers. It's validated through playtesting, and seeing that reaction. So I've got a little bit of an insider's take on that. And then I really think the enjoyment you're going to have playing with your friends and competing within Pro-Am, is, I don't know if it'll surprise anyone, Rich, but I think it'll just, that's where you see the smiles come out. One funny story or interesting story I have with our game changers, and these guys come in, oftentimes they'll come in for like a 3-day stint. And there's 10, 12 guys sitting in a room with each other for, you know, a long day each and every day. And the time before they came in was the first time they really got to play live Pro-Am and Summer Circuit and Live Run. And the really cool thing for me was, and we're here working late, we're getting, you know, we're trying to get this game done and make it better. And it was AJ, who's our community manager. I went to see him. And normally on the Friday night, AJ takes him out for dinner every night, obviously. But Friday night's kind of the, hey, thanks, guys, for coming in. We really appreciate it. Take him for a nicer meal. And he said that he was asking the guys where they wanted to go eat on Friday night. And the guys just said, AJ, if it's cool with you, we'd just like to order in because we still want to keep playing. And those guys played till 10:30 at night on Friday night. After being in the office and playing and, you know, working with us for 3 days. And that, to me, was unbelievably validating, as far as just, that's why we do this. You know, we do this so that we can, you know, put smiles on people's faces and give them the opportunity to have fun and compete with their friends. And we're so passionate about that. And it was super cool to see that reaction given where we were, and it was a work in progress, and we knew that we were only getting better, and we knew what wasn't there, what was working properly, what wasn't. So I think I gave you a long answer, and I might have stolen some of Ryan's content, but I think those three things, for different reasons, are part of the reason, I guess, to answer it better, is why I'm really proud of where we are right now.
Yeah, and awesome. I would say for me, I'd echo a lot of what Sean said. I think the scanning app, you know, everyone, as we've been testing this at the office, everyone's like, hey, can I get that app? Can I scan myself? And everyone's just chomping at the bit to see themselves in the game. And really the results are so good that you can stand right beside Russell Westbrook and look just as good as his scan face. So all that investment in the technology we've been doing over the last few years is really starting to pay off, and taking that and giving that to the consumer right at their fingertips on a mobile phone is pretty amazing. I think when people boot up the game and just see the visuals, I think it's, the game is so stunning. It took a huge leap last year from 14 to 15, but when you see the game now, and you saw it in New York, I mean, the game is just taking another huge leap forward in terms of visuals, the color, the skin, the way the players move, the environment, the crowd. Everything just feels like the whole world is, it's got that consistent level of quality across the board, which I think we lacked a little bit of that in previous years. And then going back to the gameplay comment, what I noticed a lot with E3, demoing the game at various press events, is just people really noticing how smart the game looks, how intelligent the players look, and how aware they are of each other. I could dribble the ball down the court, wait at the top of the key, and the players are really behaving the way I expect them to behave. And it's giving me the opportunity to really play fluid basketball. Players would stand around in the past and really, there'd be jerky animation and things like that. I think now you see the game and it just looks fluid and it feels fluid. You know, you get your hands on the sticks, and when people tried for the first time, we saw this at E3, people were just amazed at just how responsive it felt, and you literally had to kick people out of the booth at 6 o'clock every day because they just wanted to keep on playing. And the same kids kept showing up every day and playing two or three games and not want to leave the station. So I think that was a really eye-opening moment for me to see people have real fun with the game, just with gameplay. And I think probably the last thing I would say is just like, you know, again, the whole summer circuit mode, seeing our game changers and seeing people just not want to leave because they want to play the game. They spend so much time playing that mode and customizing their characters and really being invested in their characters. I think that, to me, is a really, people would be really surprised when they get their hands on it. And I think just the idea of playing on these real courts, playing against real NBA players who have been at these courts and continue to play at these courts, is a really, really cool, cool experience for our gamers.
So, gentlemen, as I mentioned to you before, I mean, I feel it. I imagine you do. You know, there's a lot of people that are rooting for NBA Live. People love competition in sports games, and you know, with NBA Live improving and NBA 2K being the top dog, there's a lot of people that are rooting for you. Just like, you know, with Pro Evo and FIFA, right? Like, real or not, if there is competition, there is a perception that competition breeds innovation and breeds, risk taking. And so, you know, I'm sure you feel that as well. I'm excited that NBA Live continues to not only exist, right? Because as Sean O'Brien, as you guaranteed last year, right? You know, not only will NBA Live 16 exist, but it'll be, you know, you guaranteed it, right? You said it'll be here and you were right. You know, you nailed it.
Absolutely, man.
But you know, we all want competition. We want success. We want fun options. So we're all rooting for you. And so I'm excited. You know, you're making some bold steps this year. I'm excited to see what you got. So best of luck to you, gentlemen, in these last final days before you get your finished product. I look forward to having you come back on, talk about the game in more detail when it comes out, and even moving on, you know, through the fall. Love to continue the dialogue. I always enjoy it. So good luck, guys. Thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Rich, thanks for having us on, man. Anytime.
Thanks, man.
Happy to do it.
Well, all right. Owen Good is here. TJ Larriman is here. And Kat Bailey is here. We are getting some of our long-lost folks back on the show. It's been a long, fun summer, but the fall blitz is coming. Before we get into some of our thoughts on all of the stuff happening this fall, Kat Bailey, how's your summer been?
Not playing sports games, oddly enough, for probably like the first time in like, I don't know, like 5 years. I haven't been like super engaged with a particular sports game. I've been playing a lot of Hearthstone, though.
Nice.
It's like a sports game.
Sure.
But with like monsters and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's been a super quiet summer in terms of sports for me outside of the Twins doing relatively well.
Mm.
But EPL just got started.
Yes.
Football is just around the corner and everything. So, and then of course, Madden review within the next couple of weeks.
I know,
so.
the big Madden review roundtable 2 weeks from today. It is,
and of course,
to be
Rocket League.
Yeah.
Hmm.
How could I omit Rocket League, the game that is practically the game of the year for a lot of people? So
practically, it's already been that award. I think has already been bestowed upon it by several people for sure.
Well, I haven't been playing it as much as other people, but it is really fun. I'm not going to deny that.
TJ Larriman, you have also been absent from the show for a while. You've been traveling the world. How has your summer been going, my friend?
Rich, it's pretty good. I just got back from Aruba a couple days ago. That was beautiful. Lots of sun. And the biggest news of the summer is I beat Pasta Padre in our Press Row MLB World Series.
That's true.
That was great. I've got a kid on the way now.
Wait,
so that's
what?
Pretty awesome.
Is this a world exclusive announcement we're getting here on the Press Row podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it on Twitter already, but
Wow, congratulations.
Yes.
A little boy in December.
Yes.
Or maybe November. We'll see what happens.
Yes.
Yay.
Little boys are awesome. Little girls are great. Little boys are great. A little greater, a little better. But no, seriously, on behalf of everybody here, congratulations, TJ. We're very excited to see how this goes. And I also will tell you that starting probably the day after your son is born, you can say goodbye to sports, video games, and television and movies for a little while. They'll be there when you get back, but you're going to be in a little bit of a tunnel, my friend.
I figure I'll just charge the Vita and sit in the baby's room.
That's a good plan. Again, when the baby comes home, all of a sudden you're going to have a lot less time for stuff like that. I've been waiting for this day for a long time. As I've been missing out on dozens of games and TV programs and shows, and I see you tweet, "All right, I'm about to do a 5-hour live stream of Diamond Dynasty." I'm like, oh, I cannot wait till that guy has a kid. And my day has arrived almost 6 months from now. The tables are finally turned, TJ Larriman. My evil plan has come together.
So this year's Extra Life marathon is probably going to be like my end to gaming for quite a while.
Yeah.
November 7th, that's sportsgamer.com/extra life. Go to it.
But you won't miss it because having a kid is the greatest thing ever. No doubt.
Super excited. Felt him kick before. It was great.
I think you've been doing a lot of Diamond Dynasty, right? I mean, that's sort of been your thing this summer when you have been around and playing games. Is that fair?
Yeah, other than beating up on the guys in our league, it's been pretty much Diamond Dynasty. I'm 9 cards away from having the complete set. I have a problem.
Like
I think.
The complete set? I don't even know what that
every
means.
Every single player card in the game.
I didn't even know that was a thing that you could do.
I mean,
wow.
You could just get all the player cards. I mean, if you got nothing better to do, right?
Now, is this a result of you spending money, or is this just a result of you playing an obscene amount of hours, or both?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Not much of the spending money, actually. A lot more of just playing way too much. I think last time I checked, I was around 160, 170 games played online. So that's a lot of Diamond Dynasty.
That is a lot of Diamond Dynasty. Oh, and good. We have spoken with you a little bit recently, but still not very much this summer. How's your summer going, and what's been happening in your neck of the woods?
I have been thwarted from my attempts to perform routine lawn maintenance by a very, very wet summer, and it's just been an absolute tragedy, you know, to get up on my days off and just not be able to go out and run the lawnmower. I mean, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. Yeah, these are the concerns of somebody who lives in suburbia / rural America, and whose children are not biological but are, you know, power tool equipment. I had to take one to the doctor this week, and that was my string trimmer, which have to be like they're the most unreliable things ever, you know. They're like. You know, if you took a wasp and gave it a gas-powered engine and then it broke down every 3 months, you know, that's your string trimmer. But anyway, I have actually been playing, despite myself, I've been playing a lot of Rory McIlroy PGA Tour. And,
nice.
Well, it's because one thing that I've done is I've turned off Zoom to Target, which provides one hell of an intellectual challenge as you sort of add up your lie, your distance, the wind, and the club. I will say this, advanced shot shaping is turned off, and that's the one where you have to make the funny angle on the stick if you're going to hit a draw or a fade. The Xbox One stick is too loose to do that with any kind of repeatable accuracy. So on one level, it's interesting because it does make you think a lot harder about the hole. The second is that it's still a little too easy, especially if you don't have advanced shot shaping on. And I can't remember the last time I lost a tournament or didn't lead after the second round. Mm. So, but it's still a lot of fun. I still enjoy my virtual brand management strategy of, you know, acquiring club and apparel sponsors and thinking up reasons for why I would go with someone and not. But yeah, that's that'll probably run its course by the time Madden gets here, and then I'll be ready to do that review.
But, you know, it's funny, Owen, because when we were first talking about Rory McIlroy when it was close to coming out, I think one of the questions I asked you was, do you think you'll be playing this 30, 60 days after release? And here we are 30, 60 days after, and yes, you are. And your initial indication was, I don't think I will. So, you know, what and I don't mean this in a negative way, because I actually enjoy the game as well. I'm not playing it regularly right now, but I'll talk about why in a second. But what is it about the game that, you know, that has you turning it on and enjoying it?
Well, I think it's highly personal. I mean, the first thing is, a lot of people, I think, play sports video games because it's not something that's so deep and intimidating with a huge narrative behind it. And, you know, have I maintained momentum through the story, and am I current with what's going on? Do I even know where my character is in this story? You know, you don't really have to face that. You can just jump in and play a game. And then the more specific angle is, golf appeals to me. And then within that is, you know, the difficulties that I've chosen within it, you know, create a challenge that is intriguing to me, that I can go in, play it for an hour, feel like I've had a decent enough experience and pull out. You know, the only problem is it doesn't have the diversity of courses within it that I wish it did. And as I mentioned in the review, and I'm sure others feel the same way, the tragedy to me is that you can't apply what is really a very, very solid playing game, you know, to the stuff that we used to have in, you know, the previous iterations of the series.
So I've mentioned this last time we spoke, and probably the few times before that. It is it's the middle of August, and I'm still 100% completely enamored with and hooked on MLB 15, the show. I play it whenever I can. I am in our online league, of which, TJ, you are a member. And we're having fun in our second year. This is year two of our online league. And we've even added a couple of members. And it's great. I'm also playing.
I feel so left out. Oh, my God.
You were invited, Kat. You said no.
I don't remember this.
Oh, come on now. Don't make me dig out that email. You can hop in.
Press row drama. Oh, my gosh.
You can hop in anytime. There's a team. The Twins are sitting there waiting for you. I just swept them, as a matter of fact.
Hey, they need your help. That's not very nice.
They need your help.
Yes, they do.
And I'm also playing a 162-game season offline with the Mets on my treadmill, where, again, as I've spoken many times before, I put player lock on for the first 5 to 6 innings, and then I take it off and play the full rest of the game for the remainder. And it's just spectacular. I know I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. I love this game so much. It is so, 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 so good. The amount of greatness dwarfs all of the, you know, problems, and even the biggest problem that I've had with it, which is, you know, the outfield errors, which, TJ, I know you sent us a picture the other day of one of the more hilarious ones you've had in a little while. They're fewer and farther between now for me than ever. I don't know if they've patched any of that. I don't know if I'm just getting a little better at it. But I cannot overstate how amazing MLB 15, the show, is. It is so good. It is so beautifully designed. It plays wonderfully. I love the pitching, you know, the pitcher-batter battle. I love the fact that I, as a hitter, you know, when I do things right, I'm successful. I'm so much better at this game, this MLB, the show, than I ever have been, because I'm not studying, but I'm just getting, I'm more patient at the plate. I'm better at sort of judging pitches. You know, I don't just swing at everything. I've learned timing a little bit more. I love the game. And I also, you know, the other game that I'm continuing to play, which is the opposite of Owen Good, is the golf club. I'm enjoying the seasons mode, which I paid $10 for few weeks ago, and I've been playing that as well. I mean, these are not new things for me to say that I love the show and I really love the golf club, but that's all, that's what I'm playing. Like, I you know, months and months after release, or, you know, many months after the release of the golf club, I'm still playing these games all the time. Whenever I have a few minutes, you know, that's generally what I do. I mean, I do a little bit of Rocket League here and there, and it's a great game, but for whatever reason, just the show especially, just it has captured my heart in way that no other video game that I can remember doing. So that sort of brings me to the fact that this fall, just starting in a couple of weeks, we are, you know, the blitz is on. You've got Madden, you've got NHL, you've got FIFA, you've got Pro Evolution, you've got NBA 2K16, you've got NBA Live 16, and those are just the big-time sports games. It doesn't factor any of the racing games and stuff like that. They're all coming out in a few weeks of each other. And I'll tell you guys, maybe it's just me, but as I sort of look at the news, and we just heard before this conversation, we just heard Sean O'Brien from the NBA Live team talking about some of the new stuff that you know his game, NBA Live 16, is going to have. This fall is shaping up kind of incredible. It feels like all of these franchises are really operating at very high levels right now. Not that they're all perfect or that all the games are going to be amazing, but it seems like even the games that are in the most precarious position, like NBA Live and NHL, have found their way, right? They've sort of defined their theme. They've learned some hard lessons. It seems like all these franchises are really sort of coming out firing, making big statements, bold statements, not crazy over-the-top hyperbole like in years past, but just like all these games seem to feel like they're really just going to hit hard this fall. Owen Good, do you get that same sense, or is that just me making that up in my head?
Well, no, I mean, I don't think it's you making it up in your head, and I don't think there's objective proof that that's where it's coming from either, but, I think everybody is optimistic that everybody's putting their best foot forward, and that's, the best shine I can put on it. Obviously, what you're hearing from everybody right now is marketing, but when you do talk to developers, even though they are coached a lot in the message and the opportunities with them are facilitated by people who are in marketing, they do believe what they're doing. And it's nice. You can tell when somebody is out there and unsure of what they're doing. And you can tell when somebody actually is like, no, I've got something that I can, sell here. And I think there is something that's founded in that. Some people who are, as always, what do you want every year out of a sports franchise? The best one every year. And they, they believe that they can sell it. I mean, I think if you're looking at the slate of games that are coming, you talk about like NHL, which, and we've picked over NHL 15's bones enough. And then you look at 16 and you go, well, they're adding in back this and adding in back that and adding in back that. And everybody goes, well, that's great. And then that sort of, succumbs to the cynicism that was fostered last year when they removed so many features. So maybe that's a wash there. And I think Pro Evolution Soccer, because of the turmoil taking place with Konami overall, is another question mark that people may have. And the demo, we're recording this on a Wednesday. The demo just became available. Yep. I don't have it yet. I don't think anybody on the panel has it yet. So I have not played it yet. But, Pro Evolution Soccer was going to be the game. I mean, I already felt its gameplay was very solid, especially, standing up next to FIFA.
Yep.
And it's not like they added any extra licensing. So as long as they didn't destroy the gameplay, not to damn it with faint praise, but, I think that it's not a game that's going to tank, in other words. And and then there's NBA Live. Which has just been cuffed around. And I think, Sean O'Brien is the executive producer with that franchise. And not only that, he's been brought back to that franchise after doing some other projects with EA Sports. He went through hell with it before, I believe, on the first PS1 port for the series. And I think he has a very tight focus for how to right the ship. Last year's game, not the best, competently righted the ship, delivered the modes that people expect. And I think they're trying to craft a new identity for it this year, and we'll see how far they go with it. But to the overall, I know I've been very long-winded with this, Rich. I'm sorry. I think there's reason for optimism in just about anything that's out there aren't going to be on shelves this fall.
I mean, I'm feeling really optimistic. I mean, Cat Bailey, you've played a lot of the games that are coming out, right? You've played Madden. You've already spoken at very positively about what it had, what it offered at E3. I think you've played NHL as well, and you may have played NBA Live. I've played NBA Live, NHL, and Madden as well. So, I mean, Kat, do you get the same sense that I do? Like that basically there might not be a stinker in the bunch, you know, this fall. This could be a really special fall when it comes to these games from top to bottom.
Haven't we already had our stinker in Rory McIlroy?
Clearly not, if Owen and I are both enjoying it, right?
I guess, but you guys seem to be the minority on that front. But in terms of the games that are coming out this fall, I think Madden and, I mean, like, they all look strong in their own way. Madden looks like it's making another fairly large improvement. We'll see if the improvements that are being made to FIFA are kind of ultimately enough. I mean, there are some interesting improvements, and I'm really glad that they're adding in the draft mode, because
yeah,
that should be really interesting, actually. NHL obviously looks like it's going to rebound. I've been playing I forgot to mention that I played the EA Sports Hockey League beta the other night.
Yeah,
actually.
I'm curious what you thought about that.
I'm not sure how I feel, to be honest. It feels like NHL still. You know, the thing about NHL is that while I like it, I feel like it is by far the most artificial feeling of the major sports games, and I include Madden in that.
Yeah, I can. I don't know that I would say that I agree with that, but I can definitely understand that, and I would have a hard time arguing against it. It does not feel, when I'm playing it, when I was playing the beta, it did not feel significantly different than an NHL that I played in the last few years.
Yeah, the past like 5 years. But
yep.
By the same token, it's still fun, you know, and
especially playing against a friend, right? Or playing with somebody, you know, on your team. You nailed it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I joined Team Game Informer and played with Sumit and Matt Burtz, and we had a bunch of good games, and I enjoyed being able to pick from the preset classes, and we were sitting on party chat and going, okay, like, I'm going to be the winger, I'm going to grab sniper, somebody can grab playmaker, oh, who's going to be the defense? Well, what do you think? Are you going to be like the defensive, or are you going to be a two-way, or are you going to be an offensive defenseman? Or are you going to be the defensive? Like, that kind of conversation is inherently interesting and adds a fair amount to it. I like, and then the fact that you can look at the other team and go, oh, they're going all like, oh, they're going to be like just smashing everybody around. There's going to be a lot of checking in this one, or, oh, they're going heavy sniper. So like, That way you can start to plan out your strategies and have an expectation of how the game is going. And so while superficially it doesn't seem that different, I think that element alone adds quite a bit. I think just having NHL back to normal, for the most part, with some fairly nice upgrades across the board, plus the large steps being taken forward by Madden, plus FIFA and NBA 2K expecting to be good as always, that's a really strong sports season in general. Some people have already even said that this might be the best sports season of this generation, period. I haven't played NBA Live, so I suppose somebody else can speak to that. I will be perfectly honest and say that I don't have huge expectations for it, but it sounds like it's inching back toward competence. When I saw it at E3, it was from a distance, but it looked okay. It looked nicer. It didn't look completely ridiculous. So maybe we're finally getting to the point where NBA Live is achieving something resembling respectability.
Well, I'll tell you this, in my opinion, it's a respectable game. This fall's game will be respectable. I played it. Now, granted, I only played it for about 15 minutes, and I played it at an event, so I didn't get it extended. But it's a respectable game. I mean, when I think it's reached a point where now, 3 years into the build, it's a respectable game. I haven't touched NBA 2K16. I have no idea. My expectations is that NBA 2K16 is going to be world-beating. And be spectacular, because in my opinion the last couple have been spectacular. But from what I've seen, NBA Live is no longer a poor game. It is a it's a solid game with what I've seen. So,
well, before we move on, and I don't want to turn this into an NBA Live podcast, but I'm curious. Like, so when you look at FIFA and Pro Evo, like, you can say, yes, there is a reason I would purchase Pro Evo over FIFA, and that is it feels maybe more solid or more sim-like, and like it just offers a very different experience from FIFA. Not to mention the fact that it has Team Japan, which is something that I sorely miss in FIFA. Is there like one thing about NBA Live in which somebody might say, I will buy NBA Live instead of NBA 2K?
I personally can't make that statement. And it's
that's not a fair criticism.
It really is.
You know, I think NBA Live will do some things that are distinct. I can't speak to the quality of how they're going to execute them because I haven't seen them before. But to what you're saying, Kat, about, you know, a difference in gameplay style, it is definitely palpable between Pro Evolution and FIFA, and not so much, or at least not on a level that makes the choice so apparent, you know, between NBA Live and NBA 2K. And then when you pile on top of that what 2K is going to do and has done in years past with, really, narrative modes that really give a damn, in the career. And now they're bringing in Spike Lee.
And the best franchise mode, you know, in any game.
Wait, did you just call NBA 2K's franchise mode the best franchise mode in any game?
Yeah, my GM is better.
GM mode is better still.
I totally disagree. I've played two full seasons of my GM in NBA, and I've played a season.
I've played them both, and I don't know if NBA 2K has a lot of systems going on, but it doesn't. It's not as coherent and as interesting as FIFA's.
Hey, so. I like FIFA's. I mean, trust me. I like both of these things, but to me, NBA 2K wins hands down. But we'll save that for later
for the future.
Yes, exactly. TJ Lowerman, what, if anything, is going to get you to stop playing Diamond Dynasty? I mean, do you see any of these fall games taking MLB off your plate? Because it's going to be hard for that to happen for me. What do you think?
I don't think anything's going to take MLB off the plate. It's just going to, I'm either going to need a bigger plate or multiple plates.
So you're going to have no plate once that baby gets here.
Well, that's like December, so I figure I can get all this gaming in and beat Metal Gear all before then.
Oh, Lord, Metal Gear. Good luck with that.
I might be knocked out, but I mean, we're what, 2 weeks away from Madden? And I am tired already just thinking about all the stuff that I want to play in all these games. There's like two franchises I'm going to do in Madden. I want to play that new draft thing. I want to relax on Ultimate Team because I have a baby on the way. I don't think my wallet can handle that and Ultimate Team. But then I want to play Pro Clubs in FIFA. I want to play the foot draft there or something? I want to play that. I want to play Ultimate Team, which is probably a really terrible idea for me to do. I want to play WWE when it comes out.
Oh, yeah. When does that come out? Is that October?
I think it's the end of October.
Oh, boy.
TJ, your child will have no college fund as long as you continue to play Ultimate Team.
October 27th. Yeah, but he's not here yet, so it's all right.
You need to start saving now, son.
What else? I don't know what I'm going to do in these basketball games. You know, I love the rec mode. I can't stand career mode in any of these games. I played FIFA for like a week. That was terrible.
TJ, EASHL. Don't forget that.
I want to play EASHL. That's going to be the only thing I play in that game, but I want
because no more GM connected, so it's the only real way to play with your friends.
I mean, remember when it was you, me, Kat, and Scott in the EASHL? We crushed people. That was great.
Yeah, we should reprise that. It'll be fun.
Yeah, and remember that time we had a GM connected and it took 45 minutes to go from like one day to the next in that thing?
Thank God
that's not there anymore, so I don't have to wait. But yeah, there's just so much. Like, if you love sports games, this literally might be the best year ever.
But it's also the most stressful. And I'm not, like, joking. Like, I'm looking at what I'm doing in my life, right? With my career and my family and, like, I want to play these games. I literally have no idea how I'm going to do any of this. There's so much.
Yeah.
Every one of these games is so in depth now, and not just a game on its own, but multiple modes inside each one of these games. You can spend and enjoy many, many, many hours. It's legitimately stressful for me to look at this release calendar right now.
Yeah, I'm thinking I might just do like Madden Mondays, FIFA Fridays, NBA Wednesdays, and just break it up like that, because if I just sit there looking at my console with all these games on it, I'm just going to be paralyzed and I'm not going to play anything.
I can see that. Kat, you're about to say.
TJ, you said that this might be the best sports season ever. Allow us to have a moment of silence for NCAA football.
No, don't worry. We're all trying to get that on Xbox One backwards compatibility.
Good luck with that.
Oh yeah, God. That's never going to happen.
I don't know why people think it will, but you know, it would be really great if we got a Def Jam Vendetta on PlayStation now. That's what I'm pushing for. That's a great EA Sports Big classic title.
Excellent soundtrack, too.
Joe Budden was amazing.
God, EA Sports Big.
EA Sports Big was so good. They put out some of the best EA Sports games. Get serious.
Okay. Like, really? Or is this joking?
No, NBA Street was great.
Oh, NBA Street was fantastic.
That was SSX. Oh,
you know, I was confusing it with the Wii ones that had their own special label.
That was All Play.
All Play.
They
brought
the best.
Big back at some point, I think.
They got rid of Big when they did the reorganization in 2007, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, but that's where the NFL Street was, NFL Tour. The FIFA Streets were good back then.
So all good. All good. What are we supposed to do with this, right? We talked about it a little bit last time, but I mean, it's coming into sharp relief right now. There's these massive sports games in an incredibly short window. You know, how does the average sports game fan figure out how he's going to spend his money on this stuff? Or do they even... You know, need to. I mean, especially like one of the things that I've been talking about, you know, I now bought EA Access. Like, I can play 10 hours of these games without spending a dime on them. It's, you know, a lot of people will buy a game and never even get to 10 hours in, right? So does that also change the game, do you think, too, at least when it comes to the EA games and how people are going to figure out, and obviously EA Access only on Xbox One, but, how does that sort of factor in the mix when you also think about, you know, just this blitz of games, all these choices that people need to make?
Well, I mean, if you have access, you're only going to be able to get those 10 hours within the first, you know, 4 days prior to release. So let's keep that in mind. I mean, yes, I have numerous games that I've played 10 or fewer hours on, but that's all spread out over a course of, you know, months. So, you know, the access thing is still basically it's still EA Sports season ticket almost. I want to go back to sort of what we were all talking about early on in the show, you know, and how everyone was marveling about how dedicated they are to a game that has come out a long time ago. Rich, I think you were talking about MLB The Show.
Yeah.
And I think Kat, TJ, Rich, I think all of you have gone through this. It's like, you know, you review the game and you blow through it and you're like, I have to see this, I have to see that, I have to compare these things with the previous edition and make sure, you know, did they fix something? Are they honest about what they said? Here, you're not really playing it for enjoyment. You are definitely evaluating it. And it's such a – I mean, rush is such a bad word, but it almost is, you know, it's accurate.
True. Yep.
And then it's a – you know, there are games that have been a slow burn in either direction, which is like, wow, this game really, really, really is good. Or, wow, this game seemed like it was awesome in those first 2 weeks, and now it's kind of slid. And I think, you know, an example of that, obviously, is what we just talked about with MLB The Show, and how its staying power and the consistency of gameplay that it offers is what has kept you around, Rich. But then also, you know, Madden, I'm not going to say it's a disappointment, Madden 15, but there were things, you know, in those first 10 days, I was very enthusiastic about it. And Polygon scored it a 9, and I'll still stand behind that, but only over a longer playing time, you know, did I understand how its progression system, you know, was really kind of, you know, unsatisfying. And then I obviously, you know, noted how its career mode, you know, wasn't distinct enough from it from the prior edition and other things like that. I'm sure Kat, you know, will back me up to that. So it's when you talk about, you know, how are people going to manage this? I think the thing is, it's not entirely like your brand of beer in that if you buy a Budweiser in Florida, it tastes the same as it does in Washington State. But I think you do know what you're going to get year to year. And I think consumers know what their tastes are and how much time they want to put into these things, and we'll find a way to do that. The uber consumer who is going to play everything is kind of rare. And, you know, I think back to what my habits were, you know, before I joined this segment, to be honest, in 2008, before I started writing about video games. I played very little Madden, to be honest. I played mostly college football. And I think that people can figure it out for themselves. And I think that people know what their tastes are. And I think they know what to expect. And I think that, you know, being iterative titles, they may not, go head and shoulders above what you want, you know, the way that an NBA 2K12 did, the way that an MLB The Show 14 did, and the gameplay changes that it offered, you know, the way that a FIFA 11 did. But it won't disappoint you. And I think that we can look forward to that, and that people will budget their times accordingly.
You know, it's also interesting too, Owen, is that at least for me, and I'm pretty sure, not the exact habit, but I'm pretty sure a lot of people have a similar experience, is that each of the different games, I really have very different reasons for playing. For example, I play Madden for one reason. That is our online league. Like, I've gotten to the point where I don't ever play any other mode of Madden. I don't play offline franchise. Like, I used to at least just play through a year, you know, offline and win the Super Bowl. I don't do anything. Like, to me, Madden is about, okay, it's time for the Press Row Football League. Boom. You know, with NBA 2K, I love the game so much. I play both the story mode and I play the My GM, and now their online leagues are coming back. So that'll be another online league game. With FIFA, I almost exclusively just play the career mode, which, so to me, FIFA, even though I know most people are different, for me personally, FIFA is a sort of a single player mode, as a single player game, as is Pro Evolution. And again, I know that's sacrilege for all the FIFA Ultimate Team players and Pro Clubs guys. And then with NHL is sort of the wild card, because I've definitely sort of I'm not going to play an 82-game regular season, you know, and try to win a Stanley Cup even on the treadmill, because on the treadmill, you know, NBA 2K is typically my treadmill game when that happens. So, but for each of the games, to me, has a very different sort of appeal because of the way that I approach it. Kat Bailey, is it kind of the same for you? And do you think also that will weigh heavily into how people sort of navigate this as they view this particular game, as this is my offline game versus this is my online and stuff like that? Is that really more of the approach as opposed to, well, I just like hockey and soccer, so that's what I'm going to go for?
I think that we are special cases. We're special, Rich.
That's true.
I think that most people have only a certain amount of time and a certain budget, and they can only really afford to get X number of games, maybe even only just one game per fall. And so they're going to invest in their favorite sport, and that might be Madden or hockey or football or whatever. And then there are plenty of other people who just don't like any other sports. You know, if you want to know the truth, I might not have gotten into soccer to the extent that I did if I hadn't felt obligated to learn how to play FIFA and then fallen in love with it and learned how to play the sport. So, like I said, I'm a special case. Now, for me, as a multi-sport person who plays most of the sports games around, yeah, like they all give me very different experiences. When I'm playing NHL, I'm playing Hockey Ultimate Team, or I'm playing EASHL. When I'm playing Madden, I'm playing in our league. When I'm playing FIFA, I'm playing the career mode, or I'm playing online in the ranked seasons because that's what I really like. And if I'm playing NBA 2K, I never leave my player because that is pretty much the only experience that I like in that particular series. Same goes for MLB The Show. So it really has a lot to do with each game's individual strengths. But I think that in the case of the average consumer, I think Owen had the right of it when he said that we are definitely in the minority in being multi-sport consumers, I suppose you could say.
Well, and also
a lot of people are still playing last year's version.
Yeah, of course. And last year's versions of many of these games are great. And also, you know, Owen, you do a lot of the reviews for Polygon. Kat, you do a lot of the reviews for US Gamer. I do a lot of the reviews for Games Radar. And this fall, I'm actually going to be doing some for the Sporting News, too, which is fun. TJ, you are a professional streamer, but not necessarily a professional reviewer. So, I mean, are all of the big games just, hey, you know what, it's no doubt I'm going to get them? Or are you on the fence with any of these coming up this fall? And if so, why?
Yeah, the only ones that I'd really be on the fence for this fall are going to be the basketball games, just because I'm not the biggest basketball fan. Last year, I was definitely all out on NHL, so I definitely want to pick it up this year. But, I mean, like Kat said, there's going to be a lot of people that probably aren't going to pick up these games, especially if they got EA Access last year and they just got their free FIFA a couple months ago. And this FIFA is going to come out. They're going to be like, why am I going to spend $60 when I just got this free one not too long ago? And they can just keep playing that for a while.
The U.S. Women's National Team, world champions.
Yeah, in that great exhibition mode that you can do that in, right?
Yeah.
Right. And, but remember, TJ, I mean, EA Access is Xbox One only. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Xbox One is more people have PlayStation 4s than Xbox One. So while it's a valid point, it's an absolutely valid point, I think the majority of people that play new next-gen console sports games don't have that choice.
Yeah, and I think, as we said, we are the outliers that are going to get everything. But the people that are only going to get one game, they're going to play it a lot. Like, I've noticed with there being literally nothing the last couple months besides MLB, Rocket League, and Rory McIlroy, I'm playing online franchise, regular franchise, Road to the Show, and Diamond Dynasty all in MLB.
Yep.
Yet when I look at this fall, just because I'm going to get everything, and they're all coming out in such rapid succession, I'm going to play one mode, maybe two of each game. And I think that's going to be tough for everybody.
Owen, you wanted to add something?
Well, no, I think actually TJ sort of circled back around to what I was going to say here too. But it's also, I mean, to get the Kat's point, it's also not just that we are outliers and that we consume, you know, the full spectrum of sports offerings. You know, the games that are on my shelf, you know, very few of them I pay my own money for. I do buy some, you know, as gifts for friends, and when I do, I sort of allow myself the conceit that gives me, you know, some kind of a right to criticize them. These things cost a lot of money, and if we were to buy, you know, all of the sports video games in a year, I mean, you're talking about a more than $300 outlay, easily. So it's always been the most troubling thing to me, is, you know, I guess this is kind of a navel-gazing comment, but as we approach, you know, the silly season for sports reviews and the crush that presents, and you know, the mandate is always, you know, we'll provide a critical appraisal as opposed to a commercial one. And everybody on Twitter wants to go, you know, should I buy it this year? And you're like, well, that's not how I'm reviewing this game. It's still very, of all genres, it's still very, very hard, you know, to divorce your appraisal from that should I buy it this year, because it comes out every year. And I do think that sports critics, and I think that commentators such as ourselves, should keep in mind, you know, that this is an outlay. It's an annual fee. It's something that, even as MMOs go to free-to-play subscriptions, it's one of the costliest things to enjoy year to year to year, especially in console video gaming.
That's a great point. So I guess to wrap this up, I want to go around the horn. So, not that you're, you know, expecting a particular thing to be, you know, better or worse, right? Because we don't know. None of the games have come out. And even those of us that have played the games, you know, we've only dabbled with them, and they weren't final builds or anything like that. So with all the games, Kat Bailey, the sports games this fall that you know you're going to get and you know you're going to play, what one do you sort of have in the back of your mind is like, you know what, I think this might be the one that is just, even though I'm going to want to play this game in this mode, this is the one that'll probably just kind of get the short shrift. Is there one that you sort of have in mind thinking ahead?
Well, the basketball games. I don't play basketball, or I don't like basketball very much. So I will definitely spend some time with NBA 2K, and it's especially with the Timberwolves, you know, having Karl Anthony Towns, also known as Cat. That'll be fun.
Nice.
And my home, my adopted hometown, Golden State Warriors, are really good too. So, but yeah, no, the basketball games will definitely be getting the short end of the stick compared to all the rest. I can definitely see myself spending a lot of time with Madden, FIFA, NHL, and possibly Pro Evo, because I actually really liked what I played at E3. The only thing is that I don't like any of Pro Evo's modes, so that would mean that I'd be limited to just playing online, and that gets a little stale after a while. So,
well, the Master League, which, you know, for many years, what a lot of people forget is Master League was the best way to play a single player mode in any sports game, by far the most depth and stuff like that. And that is supposed to be getting a significant overhaul this year.
That was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, no, I agree. But they're saying that's getting a significant overhaul. And so I will be very curious, Kat, to see, you know, if you get into Master League, what your experience is, because I think that's got Kat Bailey written all over it. TJ Lowerman, which of the games that you know that you're going to get that you genuinely want to spend time with, but because just, you know, we're limited to the number of hours and minutes that we can spend, what game do you sort of have nagging in the back of your head that even though you're going to buy it, might wind up getting the least love, at least as far as the amount of time you get to play it?
I'm thinking it's probably going to be NHL, mainly because the only thing I really want to play in that is going to be EASHL. And I have that creeping suspicion that about 2 weeks after that game comes out, none of my friends are going to be playing that anymore, and then I'm not going to be playing that anymore.
Owen Good, same question to you. What do you think of the games that you are interested in, that you know you're going to get and you know you're going to play? What do you think might wind up, just because of time and limitation, just sort of not getting as much attention as you would want, all other things being equal?
I mean, I've been trying to evaluate this as I've heard the others talk about it. And I know, you know, the games that are on the schedule, most if not all of them are going to be my review. So I think it's a question of what am I going to be playing past the review. And I think it's probably going to be it's going to be one of the basketball games, because despite all of its technical brilliance, I will play through the entire narrative of my career in NBA 2K, because I definitely want to see what Spike Lee has done with that, because it's so unusual that they would bring a person of that kind of weight into this game, you know, to do something creative for it. But after that, you know, NBA 2K remains an impenetrably difficult game for me, at least with regard to, you know, creating a kind of game that is a little bit more than just sort of straight ahead, you know, run up court, do one move on the right stick and then try to jam it, or, you know, step back and shoot a three-pointer. I think NBA Live has articulated a little more of a vision where such things that are fluid and balletic are more contextual. And I know that NBA 2K players long time think that that is anathema, and that's certainly you know, a justified position. So basketball is something for me that, because I didn't play much of it, especially when I was a kid, that I don't really understand innately, you know, how to space, clear, move, run, things like that. That's always, when I get to the end of a review cycle, the one that I go, crap, this is a really good game and I'm not doing anything with it. But that is a personal preference, and that's not an appraisal of what I think, you know, its quality will be this coming year.
You know, I'm 100% in agreement with TJ. I think even though I'm looking forward to NHL and I have a feeling it will be a strong effort, I just think because the way that I'm probably going to play it the most, which is EASHL, I mean, basically it's, you know, with everything else going on, there's going to be so few of my friends that are playing it, and EASHL is not fun unless you're playing with your friends. Now, that could be, you know, one of the things that also sort of in the back of my mind is, yeah, but playing a game of EASHL is like 20 minutes, right? So, you know, maybe the brevity of the games and the ability to play two or three in the span of an hour might change that. But, I mean, I know that we're going to be playing Madden in the Press Row League. Like, that's just a given. I'm still playing last year is we're in like week 16. We're going to get our Super Bowl in year, I think, four. Is this year four or year five? Wrapped up right before Madden 16 releases. You know, I know I'm going to be playing NBA 2K like a crazy person because I'm, you know, that's what I've done for the last several years. It just, NHL to me feels like the game that is not going to get the as much time and attention as it deserves. But if it's not NHL, I don't know what it would be. It would probably be FIFA. And it's funny because FIFA is also the game that was my version of this last year. I played plenty of FIFA. But the minute Pro Evolution came out, and Pro Evo last year came out in November, if you remember. This year it's coming out the same time as the rest of the games. The minute I played Pro Evo, I have not turned FIFA back on since then. So last year for me it was FIFA. This year for me it could be FIFA again, and it could even be earlier. Again, not to say anything negative about FIFA. It's just, you know, at some point one of these games is just not going to get played as much as the others. And because I don't really experience FIFA socially the way that I do the other games, I have a feeling, you know, the more I think about it, it might actually be FIFA. But we will see. But anyway, I want to say thank you and welcome back, Kat Bailey. Thank you and congratulations to TJ. And thank you to Owen Good. Thank you guys all for coming on tonight. It is going to be a wild and enjoyable fall. 2 weeks from today, we'll have part one of our review roundtable, and then the game just keep on coming after that. So we're looking forward to that, everybody. Go check out Owen at Polygon. Go check out TJ streaming over at twitchtv.thatsportsgamer. Go check out everything that Kat Bailey is doing over at US Gamer. Go check out everything that Brian Weed, I and the rest of the crew are doing over at Hit the Pass and the Sporting News. Lots of good stuff going on. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll talk to you again real soon. Well, thanks everybody for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast. We'd like to invite you to go check out hitthepass.com, a website all about the sports games of today, yesterday, and tomorrow. We've got video, we've got audio, we've got written pieces, all about the sports games that we love. On behalf of everybody from Hit the Pass and the Press Row Podcast, thanks.